here's the thing. I've taken a look at the Gamora and Yuma. I had a second chance to look at the Gamora and Yuma. And nobody took it. Okay. So it's interesting, Gamora. It's mostly like this. It says, Hachom is Chayev. Right? Lady. No sideshows over here. Come on. So, yeah, so the Mishnah says that you're potter for the salt water, right? The tzir, brine. So the Gemara says, but the implication is that chometz yichayev for, right? Ha chometz chayev. Masnis and mani, Rebbe. So he says, who's the Mishnah? Rebbe. Titania, Rebbe Omer, chometz meshev ez nefesh. Interesting thing. So chometz is meshev es hanefesh, and therefore Rebbe holds yichayev. So what's meshev es hanefesh? So Rashi says mevato u'mevato es ha'inoy. So what's the machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim? What's the machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim by Yom Kippur?
What
does the Chachamim say? The Chachamim say apparently chometz is not a food. That apparently is there. Chometz is not a food. So you're not over for achila. Right? Certainly in the quantity of moly lugmov, or kim moly lugmov. But Rebbe says chometz is meshev es hanefesh, and Rashi says it's mevatol es ha'inoy, and therefore you're chayev.
Like he holds you can have. Like,
so what's Yom Kippur, right? Inoy. What's the Isra Achil on Yom Kippur? It comes from it's one of the five Inuyim, right? It's one of the five Inuyim. So it's an interesting thing. According to the Rabbanon, Yechayev to fast, right? The Tam is Inui. But right. The Isser is Achila. Right. Interesting thing.
Right.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're the Isser is to be Mevatel the Inui. That's the Isser. It's an interesting thing. It's not an Isser Achila. It's an Isser of being Mevatel the Inui. Achila is the normal way.
So the Isser Achila just like maintains the Inoy, it doesn't.
Yeah, that was normally there's an Inoy that's associated with hunger, right? And filling up removes that Inoy, right? That's eating. The eating removes the Inoy. But apparently vinegar is something like, I guess, who here, who, you had the vinegar?
Max.
Who has the vinegar?
Max.
But it probably takes your mind off of the hunger.
The other pain.
Whatever it is, it's refreshing. Let's say it's refreshing.
You've obviously never drank vinegar.
Or it's
invigorating, probably.
Invigorating. It gives you a boost. It's an interesting
like
thing. It's interesting machlokes, the Chachamim and Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda holds any derech achila that is mevatel the inoy is chayev. You're chayev for being mevatel the inoy through derech achila, even though it's not through the process of even though it's not through the process of what we call normally achila. It's not really through hana. It's not through a hana.
So it's only an achila because it's mevatel inoy.
No, it's not. It's an achila in terms of Yom Kippur. He holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds achila, and Yom Kippur is more than just achila. It's a means of being mevatel inoy. So that's really the definition. Achila and Yom Kippur is a slightly different definition.
So aside from Yom Kippur, would you call that achila?
No, apparently not. Apparently, that's what Rashi seems to be saying. It's a different phenomenon. It's meshev es hanefesh. It's not that it's an ochel. But the Chachamim holds only things that are ochel yechayev on. That seems to be the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Is it the phenomenon of achila? You feel a certain sviya that's what you're chayev for. Or if I can somehow be mevatel the inoy through derech achila, even not through the process of svia, of feeling satisfied from what I ate. I just feel, whew, right? Not hungry anymore. Then the yemavatel the inoy, if you hold the it's like an achila of bitul inoy. It's not an achila of hanor, it's an achila of being mevatel the inoy. And in Yom Kippur, that's how achila is formulated. The isra achila is formulated in terms of the opposite of the, in terms of the removal of the inoy. It's an interesting thing. But we hold, but that's Rabbi Yehuda. We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. We hold that you're going to be potter on Yom Kippur for eating the chametz. Because we hold it has to really be an achila. And that's why, according to us, we can derive whether the thing is a food. Right? But then you had the story over here where he said if you eat a lot of it, he never meant to say that a lot of it you're not chayav for. It's interesting. The Rambam holds, that he meant to say drabanan to eat a lot of it. But the Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say it's d'oraisa, no? Chayav, he says. Yeah. So that's in other words, so according to the Rabbanon, everybody agrees that Kimole Lugmov is not Achila, but it's Meshavas and Nefesh. So the Rabbanon hold you Potter. But since they hold you Chayev on a lot, apparently that means it has some quality of Achila at that point. Right? That's what the Rabbeinu Yonah is bringing out. At that point, it does partake of Achil in some degree. But the question is...
And would Rabbi Yehuda necessarily disagree with that?
He doesn't care. It's a kosher game. You already mentioned Meshuvah Nefesh, what?
Malin Lugmav is Meshuvah Nefesh?
Yeah. In general, you mean? Yeah.
I'm saying of vinegar?
According to Rabbi Yehuda, yeah. It's Meshuvah Nefesh. It's not Achila, but you feel it's Mevapa the Inoy. It takes away your hunger. It's like it takes away your hunger. It's like an appetite suppressant.
What about olive oil?
I wouldn't be hungry olive after oil. Drinking vinegar.
You mean if you eat olive oil on Yom Kippur? Are you chayav? Straight olive oil?
Yeah.
Good question. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, Rambam holds mega shakal, so he definitely holds you chayav.
It's interesting, they don't consider chomet to be sukkim mazik, but they did shemen. But I can see them just as easily. Both of them just as easily.
Actually, I'd say more so by the vinegar.
Or more so, I mean, whatever it is.
No, you're taking oil.
Wait, Rabbi Yehuda would hold you have to have a shear of Molly Wiggum or any? Like
regular shear, Molly Wiggum.
Regular
shear. Doesn't say anything different about the shear. Okay. But, so that was the Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah's question was that what? That you see from Yom Kippur, that what? That you potter on the normal shear of Achila by the Chometz. So what does that mean? So he says that means it's not an ochel. Right? That was his kasha. That means it's not an ochel. Since it's not an ochel, you shouldn't make a bracha on it. So what's his answer? His answer is, well, it's not exactly an ochel. It's something like an ochel. He says, since that's true, that on the normal shear, it's not, you're not chayev. But if you eat a lot of it, you are chayev. Right? So therefore what? He says, Kavon the Kaimalon Shim Shosim Menu Harbe Chayev Nation Nenemi Menu Bishasia. Since we hold that if you drink a lot of it, you're Nene from the Shasia, right? Bishasia Maruba, I'm sorry. Le'inyin brocha nami lo yotza mitoras ochel. It's not removed from the framework of, from the category of ochel. U'lefikach mavorech alav. And then he makes his chilek on the bracha rishon and bracha achrona. Bracha rishon, he says, is going to be any amount, because you're a nana. But bracha achrona, he says, you're not going to be chayiv unless you eat a lot of it. Why? Because it has to be something that's choshev shesia biyom kippurim, right? It has to be choshev shesia biyom kippurim. Yeah.
So by Yom Kippur, when he's drinking a large amount of
chometz,
So is he being nana from it? And that, we're saying that he's not being nana from it, and it's just mevatel the inoy.
No, a little bit is mevatel the inoy. But when he eats a lot of it, then he
and then he is nana.
Then it's like a shasiyah. Then it's like shasiyah.
But at the same, so even if he has a little bit of it, he's saying at the end that, that you are nana from it, you know, so you would make a bracha in the beginning.
Right.
So it seems like it's not completely.
So what you must say is, we're trying to say yesterday, is that what? We have to try to define this phenomenon of the chametz, okay, as opposed to other foods. In other words, it seems to be saying like this, that foods, things that are considered foods, they have a certain hanoah. We say ein achila p'chusim mikizayis, right? But it doesn't mean that you're not eating the whole time, right? It means to say, like for instance, on the bracha achrona, you have to. Why do you have to have a kizayis for the bracha achrona? Because it's based on achalta v'savota, the achalta. Achila is a shir, right? And achila is a kezayis. But so you don't make the bracha achrona unless you had an achila, which is a kezayis. But does that mean that if you have a taste, if you have a half a kezayis, you're not eating, right?
Talk about this.
But of course you're eating. Of course you're eating. If a guy makes a neder not to eat, I mean, that's a good question. Is it kezayis? But anyway, so. The bracha rishona you chayev right away, and you're because you're a nana. But you say you're not nana through achila. Well, obviously you only make the bracha when you're a nana through achila. If you take chalev and you smear it on your skin, or shuman, you don't make a bracha, right? Take a bath in milk, you don't make a bracha. You're nana from the ochel, right? So it's only nana through derech achila, correct? Yeah. So, but in other words, a normal food, it would seem that there's a hanoah of the process, right? There's a hanoah of the process. Each bite, each sip, is a hanoah, and then there's a cumulative effect of satisfaction of what you ate. Okay? In other words, there's each step is satisfying, and then when you've been through a certain shear of satisfaction, you feel emotionally, you feel satisfied. Okay? It's sort of like a building a wall, a brick wall. Certain amount of bricks. Every brick is part of the process. Is part of the substantial process. And in the end, you have they all form one greater entity. Okay, but the point is, the greater entity at the end is really just like a repetition. Is just the result of a repetition of a certain hanah that you went through the whole time. Whereas chametz, it would seem, is not that way. Okay. In other words, it's not that drinking the chometz is pleasurable, right? Mm-hmm. Because then it would be subject to this idea that there's a certain rule we have that when you engage in a certain kind of a pleasure of achila to a certain shear, we consider that to be a satisfying experience. In other words, like you say to the guy, have you eaten? What do you mean, have you eaten? You don't mean, have you done the process of eating food. I mean, have you done the process to the point where you feel satisfied that you've certain accomplishment in that process? But it's nothing more than a shear in the process. There's a certain amount of achila, but it's not. It's the cumulative effect of that same hanah being repeated. One second. But by the chometz, it's not. You get a hano at the end that's not the same. It's not simply an accumulation of the hano of the drinking. It's not the hano of the drinking. And now I'm satisfied with the drinking of the chometz. I've drunk enough chometz. I've experienced enough drinking chometz to say I've experienced it. No, the experience of the hano, I think Nisan is right, is a different kind of experience in the end. You know what I'm saying? It's more like a trade-off. It's more like it's not such a pleasurable experience, but in the end, it does give me a certain satisfaction of having eaten. As opposed to a regular achila, it's the very enjoyment. I say, I've had enough of that enjoyment. By the chometz, you don't stop because you say, I've had enough of the enjoyment of the chometz. It was not so enjoyable. But I say, even though it wasn't so great, I still feel it did do something for me. It did satisfy me to a certain type of achila satisfaction. It's hard to exactly. Yeah, Michael.
What allows us to equate those two? They seem like they're two different things. One is an accumulation of a certain amount of satisfaction, and the other is just whatever amount of benefit you get from partaking of this action. But who's to say that we can just benefit? Why isn't that like washing yourself in the milk bath? There's a certain amount of benefit there, but it's not.
So it does seem like there's a certain amount. It seems like this. It seems like the pleasure. At the end, is it the pleasure of achila or not? That's the bottom line question that Michael's asking.
Sounds like yes.
It would seem yes. Not. But it would seem that chometz is different from all other foods. That normally, the pleasure is, when you're eating an apple, the pleasure is the same from the first bite to the last. It's just, I say, I've had enough of this already to have considered to have partaken of an apple. It's not like just a nibble. I really ate an apple. I ate. Right, I was osek as a gavra in this to a chashuv amount. Right, it wasn't like a tease. Just got a taste of the apple and I couldn't satisfy my instinct of eating. I was able to. Right, but it seems with the chometz that the pleasure and the satisfaction come together at once. Right, it's a funny kind of a phenomenon. I can't really attest to it, but it would seem that you need to drink a certain amount of chometz in order to finally enjoy the chometz. But once you have drunk that amount and at the end you enjoy it, now you already feel like the satisfaction and the pleasure, and that's it, you're all done. It's almost like you ever have like scotch, very strong scotch. So the first sip, maybe it's not so good. But then after a while, it's already, you're already numbed up a little. And you can enjoy it a little more. So you got to take the, you got to have the, you got to forge a path first. But it's a different kind of a phenomenon. It's a different kind
really
of phenomenon.
It's feeling good when the porch falls down.
That it's a different kind of phenomenon. That the achila, the enjoyment of the achila and the satisfaction of the achila come together, as opposed to other foods, where the satisfaction comes from the repetition of the enjoyment of the anna of the achila itself. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, he's saying it's not completely removed from ochel. It's not a normal ochel. It's not a normal ochel, but it's not removed from Torah's ochel. So then the question though is, why do you, now? So now it turns out like this, that this is really the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah. This is the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah. That, now the question we asked yesterday, what does it mean that you're nen in the beginning? Yoni, right? Your question. What does it mean that you're a nen in the beginning? Right? What does it mean you're a nana in the beginning?
You're partaking of an action that will result in.
It seems to me that he's saying like this. Now, his havamina was, Osir Leonos min olama zebelo bracha, means what? Hanoas achila. Hanoas achila. Right? But we're saying by the chometz, you don't really have hanoas achila in the beginning. You don't have hanoas achila. But now he's saying that it would seem from the chometz that it's a different idea. Somewhat of a not an intuitive idea, but it seems he's saying that when he says that you're a nene, I see the guy on the side of here, he says he doesn't understand the whole thing. If you're a nene, so what do you have to make the Philippine? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. But I think he's saying you are a nene, but not a nene of achila. It's not a nene of achila.
Before you reach that state?
Before you reach that state.
What is it?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
The nene from ochel, the derech achila.
So something like that would require bracha, whereas bathing in the milk wouldn't.
That's right. So then he says, but for a bracha achrona, you have to say that you were a shosa. You have to say that I reached the satisfaction of it. And that's not going to come until you have more. Because the whole way through, it wasn't a normal hanos achila. It's only when you say that by the point of Yom Kippur, you'll be... See, by Yom Kippur, you're not over... You're not over on Yom Kippur for doing the Maisa Achila. You're over on Yom Kippur for having eaten, for having, for the V'Ochalta aspect.
For the involvement.
For the involvement. Right? For the effect. So, he's saying on Yom Kippur, you see from Yom Kippur that what? That you don't have the effect and the gavra of the chometz until harbing. Right? Until harbing. So therefore you're not going to be chayav a bracha chrona until you get to that point. Right? Because the bracha chrona goes on the effect. V'ochalta v'savota v'rachta. But bracha rishona, that was his question with bracha rishona. If you say bracha rishona goes on the hanoas achila, right, then you see by chometz you don't have it. You don't have it. It's not something that gives you the normal hanoas achila. But if you say that you're chayev when you're a nene, in other words, you're chayev when you're a nene b'derech achila, on an ochel, somewhat of a cumbersome formulation, then you're chayiv in the bracha.
But
yeah.
On chometz, I thought we said that if you take like just a sip and you don't drink a lot, that you're not in there. There is no hanah there. Like,
it is a hanah, but it's not a hanah as achila. You must say there's a hanah, otherwise the guy wouldn't do it. There is some hanah.
No,
it's meishiv as a nefesh, whatever it is, whatever Rabbi Yehuda says. There is some hanah. But it's not a hanoas achila. And how do you know it's not a hanoas achila? Because when you get to the normal shear of achila, you don't have any satisfaction. You know, and that's our test, if it's a normal achila or not. So it's not the hanoa of a normal achila. So if you say yechayev bracha on the hanoas achila, right? So then, it's not hanoas achila. Let's say I have an itchy throat, right? And I drink something something that's not a food, but it scratches my throat, right? Or a medicine. Let's take a medicine. It's gonna make me feel better later, right? It's gonna give me a hanoa. But that's not a hanoas achila. Right? Or even if you drink water, if you drink water because something's stuck in your throat, right? You don't make a bracha. Because that's not a hanoas achila, it's a different kind of hanoa. Right? But he's saying over here, if the thing has a shame ochel, if it has a shame ochel, right?
You can separate it from hanoa.
And you're being nene from its qualities, b'derech achila, then you're chayev to give a shevach on it, b'toras ochel. You don't have to be nene, you don't have to have hanoas ochel at that point. Now, as it would seem, that's the chilek of chometz. The chometz in the chometz doesn't have the immediate peace, the immediate hanoas achila. Because then it would just be a regular ochel. Then it would be a regular ochel. And you'd be chayav in Yom Kippur. It's a funny kind of a phenomenon. You can get to the point where it's an enjoyable in terms of ochel. But it's like a quantum leap to that point. It's like a quantum leap, right? You're waiting for that. It's like a quantum leap to that point. Right? Now, as the sevia of an apple is continuous, every little bit you eat is a little bit more satisfaction. And then when you get to the end, you're filled up. It's like filling up a cup of water slowly. But so then every point is indistinguishable. Every point is hanah. Every little taste is hanah sachila. And then when you get to the end, it's a very simple formulation. And when you get to the end, you had enough hanah sachila, so now you can make a bracha chorah. But he seems like he's saying by the chomets, that's not the way it works. In the beginning, there's no hanah sachila. There's some sort of hanah. If a guy just wants for the bracing effect, he wants to have it. There's some hanah. So now he's a neneh from an ochel b'derech achila.
But he's still moving toward the quanta. Couldn't that be a hana?
Well, the thing is, he's saying he's neneh now. I mean, he's saying because you're a neneh. I mean, but it's a not. You have to say it's not a hana achila at this point, though. I mean, what if the guy would never just have a sip? What if the guy just has a sip?
I mean, when you drink a lot, then it once you drink a lot of. Then it is
on Asavila? It seems so, yeah. Because then you can make a bracha chorona. Correct. Then you can make a bracha chorona. You definitely only make the bracha chorona when there's Hanas Achila. Because if it was never had Hanas Achila, then it wouldn't be an ochel. That's his whole point. Saying there is some point where it does come into existence as an ochel. And to make the bracha rishona, but this is his chiddush. You don't need to have the Hanas Achila to make the bracha chorona right away. But you have to be a neneh.
Chorona?
Rishona. You don't need that Noah Sachil to make the bracha Rishona. You have to be a neneh, but you have to be a neneh from an ochel in a derech achila. Yeah.
Why should the derech achila be any different from the milk bath? You know, who cares if I happen to be?
I think Ken is right that it's because this is the process. This process does reflect its value as an ochel.
So it's like a reflection of the actual.
You have to be mitzuraf. You have to be mitzuraf to the achila quality of it. You have to do a maisa that's mitzuraf to the achila quality of it. If you bathe in it, then there's nothing to do with it as an ochel. But if I'm engaged in the process. That does bring it into the Shem Ochel, and I'm a neneh from it now, I have to be mevarach on it as an Ochel. I mean, it's a strange idea. I don't think any other Rishon learns this way. Because the Rush says, a very simple answer. The Rush says, you make a bracha when it's mozug. You don't make a bracha when it's chai. When it's mixed with water. But that was the other case. When it's mixed with water, apparently, then it is drinkable. Or he says, if you mix it in, if you have a like the case of the oil, you have a very sore throat, and you mix it in with something else. You know what I'm saying? And the Rambam also seems like he's saying it's mazak, because on Yom Kippur he says chometz chai, and in brachos he just says chometz. So apparently he's mechalek between chai and mazak, because it is a very funny idea. I mean, it is a difficult concept to say. It is a departure from the normal way of looking at it. To formulate it that it's a hanoah, even though it's not the hanoah sachila now. But as long as it's an ochel, as long as it's not yotza mitoras ochel, and you're neneh from it, b'derech achila, yichayev in a It's strange. It is a little strange. And I don't think anybody else learns that way. But that's what he's saying. That's what I think he's saying. I mean, maybe it's not fair of me to say this is what I think he's saying, but it's strange. But that's the best I could do.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of method, I just have a question about like how he's bringing Yom Kippur. Like, do you think that? Like,
well, that's because the Gemara does it. I mean, you weren't here when we were on that Gemara, but the Gemara itself does it. Gemara says, how could you make a bracha on the dried pepper?
Right.
You're not Yechayev and Yom Kippur. The Gemara brings it as a kasha. The Gemara relates the two sources. And it says, whatever is considered an ochel on Yom Kippur, you should have to make a bracha on. And if it's not an ochel on Yom Kippur, you shouldn't have to make a bracha on it. That's what the Gemara says about pepper. Okay. So let's take this new Gemara. Start new. Everybody's fresh now. We should really serve a little vinegar. Right?
as wait, here, a... Wait.
But I mean, even Rabbi Yehuda would hold it has to be Yechayev only because it's Derech Achila. I mean, if you, like I know sometimes people pass around Besamim, right? And by a Tainus. And it makes them feel better, they smell it, they feel a little refreshed. That's not an Isser Achila. He's saying Achila is defined by Ino, by removing the Ino. Not just an Isser being a Bavel Ino.
According to Rebbe, that would be a problem.
No, but no, I'm saying, even according to Rebbe, he's saying it's only going to be a Derech Achila being a Bavel Ino.
Really?
Okay.
So according to Rebbe, again, the Isser halachically is being about to the Ino, but the has to have a quality of Achila.
Right, Derech Achila.
Derech Achila, okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Who wants to read? Alma Ula. Go ahead. So first of all, let's just refresh our memory of the Mishnah. Right. Read the end of the Mishnah there. Hayu Lefanov.
Okay. So Hayu Lefanov mean harbe. If you had in front of you many different species, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yimish Beneihem mean Shiva Allahu Bar. Rabbi Yehuda says if among them there's one of the seven species, then you make the bracha on that. The Chachamim Omerim Mavarach Elizim Hinshir, so the Chachamim say whichever one you want.
Whichever one you want. You make the bracha on whichever one you want. Right. So this is the famous test. Right? The old European chassan test.
Yeah.
Huh?
See which bracha he makes first.
Remember that?
Right. Didn't pass like the Rambam, though. They don't pass like the Rambam, apparently.
That's
right?
Like what I have by Kiddush, by Pass and...
What was Rambam, huh?
And if you wanted to pass more, so say if you wash, then that shows that you really wanted the Pass, then you have to...
If you wash...
You pass.
Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead.
Amar Allah, Machokas Bishabarach Hussein Shabbos, the Machokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban is when the brachos are this... There's only one bracha. They're all
right. So it says mean in harbe, but it's not clear on what meanim is talking about, right? So he's saying mean in harbe is true, but it's only when they're the same bracha, right?
Rashi.
Go ahead.
Rashi, kagon zisim b'tapuchim, like olives and apples, the tarvai who bori parates, because they're both the same bracha bori parates. Uva liftor eshtehen b'bracha achas. And you're coming to be able for both of them with one bracha.
Right. So now you're in a situation. You have a zayis and a tapuach. A zayis. Now, first of all, it's hayu lefanov. So what does it mean hayu lefanov? It means he has in mind he's going to eat them both, right? He has in mind he's going to eat them both. So if he has in mind he's going to eat both an apple and an olive. So he only requires one bracha for both of them. Correct? Only requires one bracha for both of them. And now it's a question, which one should he make the bracha on?
Is that ma'akev or it's just l'chachila?
It's not ma'akev. So that's the machlokas. That's the case where there's the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. And
Rabbi Yehuda Savar means Shiva Aleph. Rabbanan Savar means Chav Aleph.
So the Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara, right? Rabbi Yehuda says min Shiva is Aleph, and Rabbanan Savar min Chaviv is Aleph. Now, what does it mean min Chaviv is Aleph?
One next best.
Go ahead.
So Rashi Chaviv Aleph is a Shiritza. Whichever one you want. The Masnisin is a Chaviv Aleph. You must say it's a chaviv alav mashma because Mishnah implied whichever one you like best.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. It's a tricky Rashi read. Can you read it differently?
Yeah.
Whichever one. Eizah shayir to demasnisen. Right. Oh. Right. Now, the words in the Mishnah says eizah mehen shayir to. He's saying those words really mean those words imply chaviv. So what's the difference? What's the difference between Eizem and Shayirta and Chaviv?
The difference in saying there is no rule, and the rule is whichever one you like. That is a rule.
It would have to mean like you'd have to say, I like apples best, so I have to have apples, even though I'd like to save them for later.
That's different.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What you want
if you like apples, you're forced.
Guys,
yeah, you can't save the best.
What you want is what you want right now.
Aizami and Shiyirtsa is the one I want now.
Like you prefer, you're looking at the plate, I want to eat this first. I want to
eat. Right.
Chaviv is just, in general, your preference. Like, you know, people like foods over other foods better.
Okay.
But maybe the only reason you can want something, the only reason that we allow to qualify is because that's your preference. Like, I guess you come up with other reasons why you would choose one or the other.
But in other words, Rashi is saying that there's a difference between Chaviv and Ezeme and Sheyirtza. Saying there's a difference between the two. They're not the same. He's trying to explain how does the Gemara go from the Mishnah, which has Ezeme and Sheyirtza, to Chaviv. So he says, Ezeme and Sheyirtza, and the Mishnah is Mashma Chaviv. So that means they're different things.
So how is
Mashmah? He's not saying that the Mishnah is...
1 second. So Ezeme and Sheyirtza, do we have a consensus on this? I don't think we have a consensus. Ezeme and Sheyirtza would mean what?
The one you want now.
The one you want now.
I don't understand what you mean by what you want now.
Okay.
You want to start off with?
Yeah.
You are dying to eat an apple.
You want to save the best for last.
Well, not, that's motivation. We're not interested in your motivation.
Yeah, no.
For some reason, you want this one.
Wouldn't it be easier if we were on the moon?
Supposed to watch. Okay, you got the freeze-dried potatoes and the desiccated... okay, so... Eza Mancha Yirta means whichever one I'm in the mood for right now. In other words, if we just let you loose, what would you take first? Don't answer that question. So that means Mensha Yirta, right? But Chaviv means if I were to ask you at a different time, what's your favorite fruit? That you can answer. Then that's the one you have to go through first. In other words, if I would say to you in a frank and open conversation, you would reveal to me that apples are your favorite of the fruits, right? And you have an apple and an orange in front of you, but for some reason you want to have the orange first. That would be this question. If Ezeman Sheyirtza means whichever one you want now, take the orange. But if it means Chaviv, then you have to take the apple. Okay? And that's what the rush explains, correct? You see the rush? But I just want to show you, if you really have a Muna in Rashi, that he means something deeper than you first see, you would get this idea too. Okay?
I feel to admit that you don't remember.
No, we didn't. It's a lack of
memory. What's your favorite fruit?
Go ahead.
I guess that's better than lacking it with intellect. Oh, that's easy. Emunah's easier than that.
We got it.
Over
there?
Yeah.
Where's the rush?
The rush is on 52. Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's after you left.
So we'll cough above on the base.
What?
On Os Chafe. You see it?
Yeah,
we want it. You want to read it? Take a look. Take a look.
So if one of the meaning is
constantly
usually,
your favorite, right? It's always on a constant basis.
That's your favorite fruit.
Right, that's your favorite fruit. Right.
Even if now you want to eat a different one.
You know, whatever, you're in a crazy mood. You want to eat something else.
Even favorite relative to the other one. Not like favorite, like...
Right,
you know,
right.
Like one favorite.
Right, yeah. Relative to the other one. Just trying to make it simple.
Do you like apples or oranges?
Favorite
always.
So you make a bracha on the chaviv, and then you take a bit off of that. V'achar kach yochal min acher.
Right. So then, according to the Rabbanan, what do you have to do? You have to eat, you have to make the bracha on the chaviv first, right? Eat a little bit of the chaviv, and then you can go and eat the other one, right? Because this is brichos and shavos, right?
Go ahead.
The chavir de la rabbanon, kamo min shiva de la rabbi Yehuda. Because chavir for rabbanon is like min shiva for rabbi Yehuda.
In other words, he's saying that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim is which one is considered the first. In other words, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda holds there's an objective order. There's a set order. And the Rabbanan hold there's no set order. Every grouping of fruits, according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to the Rabbanan, has a set order. The only thing is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's an objective set order. For everybody, it's the same. It's Shiva Aminim. And according to the Chachamim, each person has his own set order. But nobody is just willy-nilly, yeah.
In a case where you didn't have any of the Shiva Aminim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would you then agree with the Chachamim's rule, or you just say there is no rule in that case?
Good question. Good question.
What if you don't have any preference, according to the Chachamim?
You gotta develop.
Become picky. Get pickier.
Well, look, that wouldn't make a difference. Then they'd all be equal.
Right.
According to the Chachamim.
Right.
The only question is
whether or not you would recognize the rule. You have to have a preset. I'm not saying in every situation you must have a dictated rule. But he's saying that the rule of Shiva, Min Sheva, according to the Rabbanan, is equal to the rule of Chaviv. According to the Chachamim, each one is a definable rule. Might not, just like Min Sheva doesn't apply in every case according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chaviv doesn't apply in every case according to Rabbanan. But it's not like Rabbi Yehuda has a rule and the Chachamim have no rule. Okay? But what's the machlokas? That's our question. What's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? And why is it only when it's Birchos Hashalom? So let's just finish up the point then. But if the brachos are different,
but if the brachos are different, so everyone agrees you make first one and then another.
All right.
Make,
now what does that mean? What does that mean?
The brachos themselves would dictate the order.
No, I mean whichever one you
meaning
make whatever
order
you want.
Order
either way, either order.
Like if it's going first.
The one you want more.
Right. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't tell you to be mivarach on the tefuach and then mivarach. It just be mivarach on this one, be mivarach on this one. It's not identifying anything. It's just saying.
Isn't it implying? Is it
right? Because here the brachas are different. Each one. If the brachas are different, then what?
Mivarach on zeh, chazer mivarach on zeh. I thought that's a reference to the fact that different bracha, each bracha is the order
but
of bracha.
No, they'd just be mubarak on each separate. They're separate things, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so we have one person saying that you have to go to what? Eight and Adama, that order? Eight
I don't
Adama
know what the order is.
Yeah.
Whatever the order is.
Isn't the order saying that's not our story? So just more than ever for the rock is out, so you just make the rock.
I mean, whatever the rules are over there, I'm not getting into it.
Right. That's the whatever. Yeah. You go by the brachos rules, whatever that is.
What are the rules? Where I just want to see where you're getting that means that you have rules.
All right.
Well, if there are rules, if not, then whatever.
But I'm just asking from the words. Where are you getting that there are rules and that this is referring to?
No, they're not getting from the words there are rules.
They know there are rules, and
they feel strongly there are rules. And therefore, this is like a reference to the rules. All right, let's see. It's a matter of debate what that phrase means.
I went to the system of maturity.
Let's see if we can see what we think it means. Go ahead. Oval, yeah.
Rashi, aval b'she'ein brachos ein shavos, divrei hakol ein bracha achas potarsa, b'shuv ein kamachoges. So if the brachos aren't the same, so one bracha isn't potter.
So then everybody agrees. In other words, if you have a fruit and a vegetable, everybody agrees you don't have the situation that we had before. Everybody agrees you don't have the situation we had before. And one bracha will not potter them all. Right? Rashi is setting up the meisvei. You'll see. It's a little bit of a funny meisvei, but everybody agrees one bracha doesn't potter them all. And therefore, what? And now there's no machlokas. Because the only time you have a machlokas is what?
When you use one bracha.
When you have to use one bracha for everything. Which one do you use? But over here, since you don't have two different fruits to cover with one bracha, everybody agrees that the two brachas, that one bracha won't cover them both, then there's no machlokas. So I mean, there's no machlokas. But divrei kol what? See, Rashi's not really answering divrei kol what, right? He's just saying divrei kol.
No machlokas.
There's no machlokas. He doesn't say divrei kol.
Well, doesn't even.
At the end, okay, yeah, at the end. Go ahead.
Va'afal gav disnan, even though it says in the Mishnah that berach apiras ha'ilan bori peradama yatza, that if you made a bori peradama on a fruit of the tree, you would say.
Right.
Hanimili b'chad mina.
Oh, so that's Kash. Kash is, but if you're going to tell me mevarach al zeh v'chos mevarach al zeh, which I guess he seems to learn means you can do whichever order you want, right? He's saying, but how could it really mean that? How could it really mean? You got to dig this Rashi out, right? Now, what's his question? His question is based on his interpretation of. One second, of mevarach al zeh v'chos mevarach al zeh. Means to say that if you have it's known in the Zayas, Ein Berchosei and Shavos, Rashi holds it could mean make the bracha on it's known and then on the Zayas. Right?
Right?
And now he has a question. He says, but how can you say that it's possible to make the bracha on it's known first and then on the Zayas? Wouldn't that present the problem of being Yotzi B'dievid on the Zayas? You understand? So you see from Rashi's question that he held when it says Mevarach al Zeh, the Chozer Mevarach al Zeh, it would seem he holds that, well, he definitely holds that it could even result in making the bracha on the tznon first.
And then you'd be Bidiyeved Putter on the Zayt, and then it would be a bracha l'vatala?
That's his question. Correct. So then his question is, but if it means that you could make the bracha on the tznon first, which is the pshat, he's learning that the pshat, how could it say that? How could it say make a bracha on the tznon and then make a bracha on the zayis? Once you make a bracha on the tznon,
yeah,
you do that. So it should have said, mevarach al ha'eitz ve'achach al ha'yerek. It doesn't say that. It says, mevarach al zeh ve'achach al zeh. Meaning to say, he's not saying exactly what the rule is, but he's saying it could definitely be that you can make the bori pri adama before the bori pri eitz, and that's his kasha. So how could you make the bori pri adama before the bori pri eitz? Once you make the bori pri adama, you shouldn't be allowed to make the bori pri eitz, right? But you see from Rashi, and that's what the next rush he tries to be medayik from this Rashi, from his question, how he holds about this case, what you should do. But that's Rashi's question, right? So what's his answer?
So hani mili b'chamina. So this is only talking about with one species, and you made a mistake, and mistakenly on a fruit you made a bori pri, on a fruit of the tree you made a bori pri adama.
Right. So when the Mishnah says birchal peros ha'ilan bori pri adama yatsa, that's not our case. That's a case where you have one apple, you have one min, right? You have one min, and what? And you accidentally make a bori pri adama on it. Correct? Then you yotze. But if you have a tznon and a zayas, correct? And you intentionally make the bracha on the tznon, you're not going to be yotze b'dievid on the zayas. Even though, if you have a tapuach and a zayas, we just got through saying, and you make the bracha on the tapuach, you're yotze on the zayas. Now, this is not a rule. Rashi's not saying that one bracha only relates to the thing you're talking about, because then the whole thing doesn't make. Then that's our whole thing.
Yes,
I mean, that's really the problem over here. The problem is we're saying that when you have two things, you can make a bracha on one, and it'll cover both. So if Adama covers eight b'di'eved, why don't I say the same thing over here? And make the bori pri adama on one, and it's like ha'yilafon amin in harbe. So b'di'eved, I should cover both. Now you're not going to tell me that that in the first case your kavanah is not on both. That's not the halacha. It's not the halacha when you have the tapuach and the zayas. You're actually making the bracha on both. You're making the bracha on one. That's the whole problem. That's why you have this whole question: which one do you do first? Because you're only making bracha on one, and that'll pother its friend.
Regardless of whether you had it in mind.
Yeah, and the bracha, you're only making a bracha on one. You know you have everything in front of you, but you're making the bracha on one.
Isn't that why over here though, that saying that it's not Uter the Zayis? Because let's say you had in mind both when you made the Adam.
Right.
So then wouldn't you have to say be Uter the Zayis?
But that would be purposely.
I'm saying on purpose. You mistake. Have in mind. You're making a mistake about the Zayis here, for some whatever reason. I'm saying on purpose you have in mind the Zayis and the Stone. You would have to agree that. It seems you'd have to agree that you'd be Uter the Zayis also. It's just he's saying in general you're making a bracha and you're making a bracha on one thing. So when you make a bracha on its own, you're not encompassing the zayis.
Right.
So.
But what about when you make a bracha on the tapuach? Are you encompassing the zayis?
No.
So what's the difference? So how come the bracha on the tapuach will cover the zayis, and the bracha on the tznon won't cover the zayis?
Again, just to be clear, so if you don't necessarily have by the tapuach on the zayis, if you don't necessarily have the other one in mind, it's still a good bracha.
You don't necessarily have the other one. No, it's in mind is a very vague idea. Do I know I'm sitting in front of many fruits and I know that I'm going to partake of them? Yes.
Would it be different?
But when
if you
I pick up
that?
One and I'm being mishab, yeah, it would.
That would be different. If you didn't know you had the apple.
That's right. Then you would be chayav a new bracha.
Okay.
But when I make the bracha, my kavana is on the fruit I'm about to eat.
Wait, so
that's
if you eat an apple, and you say hi, and then you decide later that you right after you eat the apple, you decide, hey, I want an orange too.
Yes, make another bracha. Okay. Yeah, as I just how you lefana mean in Harbe. It means say he's going to sit down.
You already know.
I saw the Gemara, and I think the Gemara in Brachos, it was a question of I don't remember exactly the case, but it turned out one Amora, he kept drinking wine and kept making a new bracha rishona. He drank like four times, he kept making a new bracha rishona. So I said, why are you doing that? So he said, each time I thought I had enough. Then I changed my mind. Right? It's like you say, Havlon v'nivra, you say, let's bench, that's it, you have to make a new bracha rishona. Because you may see achdash from the achila, that's it.
So let's say you go to someone's house and you have tamotzi. No,
well, that's a kliya suda. That's next suda. Norm of lam besocha suda. Lechem is a separate thing. Lechem is.
It's an encompassing.
Yeah. Because everything is considered tied back to the original lechem. So it's all included.
Over here, the underlying question would be how you could even be yetza for another fruit if I were to make a hayetz.
Right.
And then.
And he's saying if that works over there, why doesn't it work by the? Why doesn't it work with the eved? Right. Yeah. So what do you say? So what's the difference if you did it bitos on that thing, or if it wasn't on that? If it was, or if you didn't, or if you did it on the tznon. What's the difference if you made the bracha on the you made an adam on a tapuach, the kavana of bitos. Or if you made the bracha on the adam on the tznon and you had in front of you the tapuach, yeah.
By the when you make a when you do an adam on an eitz, right? That when the shevach is like it's a vague shevach.
Right. It's more general.
It's
correct.
More general, right? But in terms of the when you're doing the when you say the bracha on the tznon and then the zayis is also there, that's a specific shevach. And in order to transfer that to the zayis, that would be a vague on the zayis. But in
so it should still work, but yeah.
I just thought
height is more general than adam.
Right. No,
height is more specific.
And like that's specific. Your intention is to have a specific. Like you have a specific frame of mind. So
you're saying the shevach can only have one character.
Are you saying that?
I guess.
I mean, I was thinking something. Maybe I don't know if I'm saying the same thing. That when you do a bitalis on that thing,
right.
So we say you can be yotze b'dieved because it's just a more general shevach. L'chachila you should be more specific, but it does, you're being mishevach in a more general way. But if you're going to try to be yotze on the zayis through the tznon, but if you're being mevarich on the tznon, then you're being mishevach in specific. So then you can't. In other words, it has to, the shevach that transfers has to be with the nature that you were mishabeach in. So you're mishabeach in specific. You can't now move that onto the zayas and say, oh, now it's going to be a general shevach. The problem is that it's initially being applied in a totally specific way.
You're saying that the fact that I'm actually saying this on an actual ha'adamah changes
right.
the nature of the
right.
bracha from being a general thing which could encompass ha'aids to a specific thing which couldn't.
Right, because you're not giving a general shevach. You're giving this one, and you're trying to be poed to the other one. But the only way you're yotzi b'dieved in the other one is because it's more general. But that's not the type of shevach you're giving.
See that? It bothers me when someone says like you're trying to be poed to the other one, because if you have in mind that you're going to
right.
make this bracha, you seem to be yotzi. I mean, it seems like the lashon of like being poed to the other thing, but you're really just making the bracha on its own. And just the fact that you were a mishabeach of this type of thing, so it allows you to not be mishabeach on this thing and allows you to eat it. Like you don't have to do it twice.
Right.
Because you're already, you know, considered a mishabeach. Like it's not just that.
It's
not like trying to be poter of this thing. If you're trying to be poter of this thing, then if you made a bracha that's correct for it, then I don't see why it wouldn't work.
But he's saying that you didn't make the right bracha.
But Adama is a bracha that can be used.
That's the thing. He's trying to create two different brachas Adama.
Right.
He's creating a general hadama and a specific hadama. And the specific can't apply to trees.
I heard that.
Are you saying that if the guy had in mind the zayas when he made the hadama on its own, he'd be yotze?
I mean, it is funny.
That's
Rashi says this is a min. He does say, why does Rashi have to say that? He says, when are you yotze in the boy pri hadama with on a pri? He says, "Hani mili bechad mina." Why does he say bechad mina? Sounds like he's saying when there are two minim, you're never going to be yotze. Right? And he does see that. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you can't make a shevach on two separate categories at the same time, regardless of if b'dieved, if you're making a hadama that it would cover ha'aitz. It doesn't matter because now you have two fruits, two objects in front of you. One is one thing, and one is another, and it's two separate categories. You can't make one shevach and cover two different things. I mean, for example, let's say you had a hadama and a shahakal in front of you.
Right.
And you can't say a shahakal and then be yotze the fact, yotze the hadama.
Pajamas and shoes.
Can you?
Right. No.
But
in what? I mean, it's two separate categories now. Once you have two different categories, you have to be mishabeach on each one.
You're supposed to make the hadama first. But it doesn't say make the shahakal first.
But one thing, why then if I say ha'aitz, can I be yotze all ha'aitz?
Because you're still making one category.
He's saying each individual category generates its own chiyuv of shevach. Once you have separate
it's a categorical thing?
Just in terms of the chiyuv.
But if you say categorical, then I could say that categorically, ha'adama is able to accomplish a ha'aitz.
It is.
So then once I say ahadama, I should be yotzei my ha'aitz.
At that point, because now you have two separate mishabeach that you are required to
see,
make.
If you say it's two separate things, then the same problem arises for a ha'aitz, for another ha'aitz.
No, it works differently. Okay, either you can make, b'di evit, a hadama does work for a ha'aitz.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've established that fact.
Right.
But the fact now that you have two objects, you now have the hadama and the ha'aitz.
Let me ask that question. What do you, when you have the apple in your hand, and you say Bari Pri Adama, right? What do you have more in that case than if you had the tznon in your hand and the apple next to you, and you made a Bari Pri Adama on the tznon? In terms of the apple, what do you have in the first case that you don't have in the second case?
Specific intention for a thing.
Shevach on that thing.
It's clearly directed at
I mean, it's like Mulchacha Milcha
on that
your pre-Hadama doesn't mean.
In other words, Rashi
Hadama.
Seems to be saying that it's only when you have one min, v'to'u birich oleha. In other words, it has to be
on it.
It's on it. In other words, if I make a toss, if I make a mistake, and I direct the wrong bracha to, I directed a pre-adama to an eight, it's still mitzuref to it. It still is, the bracha is going to, even though the text of the bracha does not, is not identifying the tapuach, because it's not, its shame is a pre-o eight. Shame is not a pre-adama. Correct? That's not its shame. So, but since I am directing it to it, my kavana is directing it to it, and the shavach will be appropriate in some framework I'm yotzei. In other words, you need two things. Going back to the theme we were developing in the last segment, you need two things, right? Lich, we're talking about this. You need to have a shavach, and it has to be identify, and it has to identify the object that you're eating. Okay, it's two things. It has to be the shevach, and it has to be mitzuraf to the entity. So he's saying a ta'us can be mitzdarifit. If you have kavana directly on it, that'll be mitzdarif, the wrong bracha to the entity. In other words, it's not its shame. It's not its shame. Its shame is not a pre-hadama. Its shame is a pre-aids. But the shevach of pre-hadama is shayach to it. And it is directed to it. So then, your kavana b'to'os will be a mitzdaref and you'll be yotzei. But if I have a tznon and an apple, and I make the bracha of the boy pre-hadama on the tznon, it's true the shevach conceptually would relate to the apple. But it's shame, the only is I going to identify, it will only identify those things which have the shame of pre-adama. You understand what I'm saying? It will only be mitzare to the ones that are in, that are identified as peros ha-adama.
Those are the ones that it's innately mitzare to. That's supposed
right.
to the ones that you have to actually like have in your
correct. In other words, you have to have a shevach and you have to be mitzare fit to the thing you're going to eat. And if you make a mistake, so your mitzvah fit with your kavana, then as long as the shevach relates to it, you're yotze. But if you're making the boy priyadama on its known, right, then there's nothing in your kavana that's going to be mitzvah this bracha to the apple, and it's not identifying apples, and it's not identifying apples. Whereas if I have many peros, it's identifying all peros. You know what I'm saying? The tziruf in the bracha, there's a tziruf in the bracha by the content of the bracha, and then there's a tziruf in the bracha by the das of the mevarich. He's saying, in order to be yotzei, you have to have a shevach that's mitzuraf to the entity. If it's the wrong bracha, if it doesn't identify it by name, then it has to be a case where there's one min and you made a mistake and your bekavana were mistaif on it. But if it's using, if it's going by the proper shemos, it will only identify those that have the proper, that those that are identified by the shame of the bracha. So if I have many peros and I say boy pre eights, all the peros will be included in the shevach of that bracha. Yeah.
According to this, you can say like Nissan that if you did have the apple in mind, then it would be good.
Is it you only have kavana on one, or is that what he's like limiting it to your kavana to one?
Well, I think he's talking about in the way that brachos are made. Nobody does that's not even a mistake. That's not a mistake. In other words, a mistake means you're doing the right thing with the wrong object. There's no idea of having in mind many things when I make one bracha. There's nothing like that. You don't do that.
Well,
you don't make the bracha on two objects.
What do you mean?
You make the bracha on one object and it passes all the other things. There's no case like you're saying, I'm saying.
No,
there's no case like that.
There's always one object
chosen. Yeah, you always have to choose
only,
one object.
Right.
Now everything else that has the same shame as that object
will
be included. You understand? But you're not choosing three objects and making one bracha on three of them. That's why he says it's not a situation of here. Right.
So the ta'as then chose the wrong object specifically.
The ta'as would be I picked one. Right. No. You can only have the Taz with one object.
What if you have a Prius or Priadama and you mistakenly make a Priadama?
That would be fine. Take David. Oh, you will be Yotzi on the other Priadama?
Yeah.
Stanley, you would be, yeah.
Because right. The bracha
that's because,
on
but,
its own.
Because the point is, right, the bracha on the eights is only going via one min. It's not going via being included in another.
If everything's correct, he doesn't need the addition of your kavana.
That's right. All right, so let's think, though, but in terms of the machlokas, so now it comes out that what? The machlokas is only when... So now you see what the machlokas are. You know, it's according to... Let's see... According now you see what Ula is saying. Ula is saying that there's a very big difference when you have one bracha and when you have two separate brachas. When you have one bracha, now you have to make a choice. You have to choose one that will represent the others. One that will receive the bracha directly and others that will receive it indirectly. That's a matter of choice. But if everyone's going to receive its own direct bracha, it's not the same question.
But why does it make a difference which one you're doing the first?
Okay, that's a
good
question.
That's
the next question. That's a good question. So the Buddha says, that's a good question. Let's think about it a little more. So let's try to find the machlokas a little bit more. And take a look a little further in the rush, okay? Take a look a little further in the rush. Where he mentions the question of Shahakol versus Adama.